You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Senator Dan Katowski. And on the line with us, we have Representative Robert Martwick, who thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know it's late and you have to get up early, so we appreciate your time, sir.
It's always good to be here, Patty.
Thank you. Thank you. I did not ask and I didn't have time to talk to Representative Dan Brady and Representative John Cabello about one in particular element of today's address from Governor Rauner. And I'm looking right now at the copy of the speech, as is Senator Katowski. You were the first one to alert me to this because I did not have a printed copy in front of me during the address. What jumped out at you right away, sir?
Well, it was somewhat surreal. I mean, there were clapping cues, applause cues. It was almost in the speech, and it was hilarious because you said through the speech it was not really that moving, and it certainly wasn't anything all that inspiring. It was a lot of the same old, repackaged with some different words and some nice things. But there were applause cues, and the Republicans were dutifully clapping, you know, it was just hilarious. I was shocked at it. I was like, what are we in communist Russia that you know, when Comrade Rauner is speaking, we all have to dutifully applaud? It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I was trying to think of this because I write material for the stage. And I don't think I've never written, neither on the page, handwritten or typed up, this is where they laugh, right? Because that's basically what the governor or whoever wrote the speech for him did there. They said this is where some people are going to applaud or where we want them to applaud.
Well, and maybe that's what they thought. This is where we think we've done such a great job that everyone will applaud for us. But worse yet, it really seemed like it was more like instructions.
It did a little bit.
I'll be clapping at this point of the speech. And it was, I don't know, how full of yourself can you be when you get to that where you tell people where they need to applaud for you? You know, it's a minor thing, but it was kind of funny at the moment. I was really, it was a moment of levity when I realized what was going on, and I think we all did.
Well,
you'll notice there were a couple of times where Democrats kind of clapped out of order, and it caught him off guard, and he stumbled on his speech because he wasn't expecting that pause.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh my, I mean, I'm not allowed to, by the way, Craig, I'm not allowed to applaud. There was one time in the press box in the year that I've been going, or the 10 months or whatever it's been, there was one time when I started applauding. It was actually when Representative Robert Martwick was speaking, and it was about the, I don't know which one it was, but you were talking about babies on ventilators and the families who really rely on these services. And I was like, yes! And then I realized, because a lot of people are applauding, and then I looked around, I'm like, oh, the press does not applaud.
You know, the mistake you made, Patty, is you didn't start slow clap. If you had started slow clap, everything would have been fine.
No, I'm very good about not laughing and not because the press box does not. They don't get up for, like, when, you know, anybody on the floor says please rise for. The only time we get up, I believe, is for prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. By the way, Representative, why did we not do the Pledge of Allegiance today? I didn't understand. We didn't do that or a prayer, did we?
No, we did. We did. I think you just hadn't. We did it right when we gaveled in at 11:30. So we did do it. It was early.
I missed it. They gave me a seat today in the press box. I was very, because I've gotten good at not responding emotionally. But I've only clapped once, and it was for Representative Martwick. Senator Katowski, you've got a chance to go over
the
speech.
I've clapped when he performs musically. He's very talented. And it's not like staged or anything like that. It's
on a
natural.
Is it a snow clap?
Like, yeah.
Wait, you missed my cues.
Yeah, he's got, it's like the sting. He just makes that move on his nose, and I'm like, oh, got a cheer now.
Okay, so Representative Martwick, I guess as we've been told by your fellow representatives on the other side of the aisle, what we've been offered are two pathways to the budget. One is working together on cuts, reform, and revenue generation, or give the governor full authority to make cuts wherever he wants.
Well, both of them are really, in a nutshell, they're nonsense. Okay, let's start out with the second one. Complete and total control to make cuts as he sees fit. Well, when I get it, I don't understand what my job is, right? I got elected by a group of people that said, we need you to go there and represent us in this process. So to think that I should just abdicate my responsibilities to someone who, as you said, was part of the Good Friday massacre of huge cuts to human services, no, you haven't earned that trust. And even if you had, I would probably still demand at least some role lull in the process, right? So that one's just off the table. And so we get back to what's left. Well, what's left is not work with me on reforms, right? Because there are lots of reforms that we could work on and we could agree on. In fact, we just passed a whole unemployment reform compensation package that we worked on together in a bipartisan fashion. Well, there's reform. We compromised. No. It's not compromise on reforms, because it's compromise on it's give me what I want in terms of gutting the unions, or we won't pass the balanced budget.
And right? I think he actually said that, didn't he? He kind of said, give me what I want. Or the kids get it. It's kind of what I heard.
Well, and it's exactly what it was. And, you know, there is, you know, when he talks about we need to make the state work better, there's no doubt. But what compromise means is get the government running today. And as we work on future reforms, which every single person at legislature has ideas on ways to make the government work better in the future. I do. We all know Dan did. He did a lot of that and accomplished some really good things, right?
So we he looks. That's why he looks so tired.
I know. He worked his butt off, right?
I have a total face for radio.
Yeah. No, but if we're going to do that, let's find the things that we can agree on and the things that we don't agree on. That's okay. There's a process for that. I've been saying this from the start of this. There's a process for the things we don't agree on. It's called Election Day. Run your candidates against us. If you think we're not doing the right things, we'll let the people decide. That's democracy. That's the way it works. It's the way it's worked from its inception. But to come out and say, unless you kill the people that you represent, right? Because that's who we got elected by. Unless you attack the unions and you gut the middle class, well, then I won't be responsible and solve the budget crisis. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Did you ever think, Representative Martwick, that you would see a speech that was echoing Governor Quinn it's alliterative capacity? Revenue, reductions, reform. And that was something in Governor Quinn's. I've seen that in a couple of his speeches.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that I would never think that I, you know, and I remember when Governor Quinn had proposed it, you know, these were, you know, challenges that were articulated in the budgets and how we were going to deal with it. But I found it pretty unexpected to hear Governor Rauner quoting the same approach that Governor Quinn essentially had. Right.
Right.
But a little bit differently, though. That language says, give me the authority to cut spending to live within our revenues. That's unprecedented. That's something that I agree would never happen.
Yeah. He actually says, give me.
Yeah.
Give me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
why don't you earn it?
It's kind of it is unheard of. Uh-huh. And I imagine, well, it could be his negotiating stance. But I was I found that to be
startling.
I found that kind of interesting in the sense that the governor has, I think he's kind of figured out that maybe some of Governor Quinn's approaches to things may have, you know, not necessarily been the worst way to approach governing, you know, because we talked the other day, I was a Mark Raquel, there may have been disagreements, but there was progress, mm-hmm. you know, when Governor Quinn was there. And we got budgets passed, we paid down bills. There were some, you know, major legislative
actuarially required pension payments.
Yeah.
Right? We kept the core operation of the government going instead of spilling blood by cutting off vital services to people who are our most needy citizens. I mean, it's, yeah.
What was he referencing when he said they eliminated $1.6 billion in something? What was eliminated? He meant, or did we both stop paying attention when we realized that everyone was clapping on cue? I'll have to go through this and take a look.
I'd have to look back through it, what it was. I mean, I don't know. There are so
here it is. Although we succeeded last year in eliminating an inherited $1.6 billion budget hole without a tax hike, we are now in our eighth month without a state budget. That was confusing.
So he's talking about the 2015 when we did the fund sweeps, right?
Oh, I see.
Which, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, that's certainly not the ideal way to balance budget. But
I don't know if it was $1.6 billion. and fun sweeps. That's
yeah, I don't remember. I mean,
that's like that's a large number. I keep talking about this fact that if you want to access some revenue, you can go to these special use funds. There's 800 funds.
Isn't there over $800 million?
Well, there's a lot more than? But the issue is whether or not that's not the best way to budget. It's a one time fix, and
right,
there's better ways of approaching
people
it,
want structural change.
Yeah, they do, but I mean, in the meantime, it's like, well, can you draw from some of those committed but not needed dollars mm-hmm. to pat some holes right now? And you could,
right?
But I think this is, it's just there are opportunities here. I agree with Representative Martwick to, you know, address some of these problems. And I also agree with his assessment that there, most people from both sides of the aisle, they want to get something done. And they want to keep the government operating.
I agree with the governor that people in the state of Illinois deserve so much better. Representative Martwick, I want to take a break here. Do you mind holding on so we can talk about something that kind of some exciting developments today and what happened in your committee hearing? Wonderful.
That sounds great.
More after this on 720 WGN. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. Call or text us.
Former U.S. Attorney.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined on the line with Representative Robert Martwick. And we also have in studio with us Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe. And I got to sit in on a little bit on a committee hearing today. It's one of those things. It was a longer one than you think it would be, about 2 hours, Representative Martwick? Oh, hold on a second. Let me put you on the line. There we go. Yes. Hello. Oh,
there we are.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, it was long. I think it's a... You know, it's a huge piece of legislation. Obviously, we're talking about my bill that would give the Chicago Public Schools an elected school board. And, you know, there was some theater there, but mm-hmm. I think mostly it was, people really asking questions in earnest about the best way to move this legislation forward. I was happy to take their questions and their thoughts and their ideas and suggestions. And I'm thrilled that we're actually, we made a little bit of history and we've moved that bill now to the floor. And depending on what we do, we will have a vote on an elected school board for the city of Chicago.
And you had several individuals testifying, some personal stories, and you also had a professor of, at the Department of Curriculum and Instruction at UIC, Professor Gutstein. Is that his name? Gutstein? I don't want to get his name
That's
wrong.
That's right. I think it's Gutstein, yeah.
Gutstein. And he was so specific in the information. And because these are graphs, these are, you know, numbers dating back. He took the NAEP scores. What are the, do you know what the, I don't have the breakdown of what NAEP, but it's proficiency in different areas of education.
Yeah, it is, you know, at least historically, it is a national test that you can actually compare, you know. It is a standard test, right?
Right?
So you can actually compare scores. Yes.
Right. So
it was one benchmark. And he admitted, he goes, it's not the only benchmark, but mm-hmm. it's accurate and there's some credibility to it.
And the gap between students who are of Caucasian backgrounds compared to students who are Black and Latino is significant and startling. And I've talked about this on the show before. Institutionalized racism in many communities in Chicago, I think, accounts for the high rates of crime and violence that we all want to see come to an end. And when you see this, where you see, you know, we've had 50, over 50 schools closed on the South Side, and you have safe passage because kids might get shot on their way to school, and then you see how badly they're performing in school, and we're not investing in them. It's a disinvestment, I think, was the word that I heard used earlier. The people in the communities need to be invested in their students, in their children, and the city is not backing any of that.
No, that's exactly right. And this shows that since mayoral control of the school, that the problem has been exacerbated. Now, I don't think that was the intention of any of the mayors, but it shows that the policies that have been enacted have been acted with a bit of tone deafness, as it were. When you have an appointed form of government and there is an accountability to the taxpayers, you don't have to listen to the taxpayers. You just do what you think is right and you go forward with it. And this shows that there has been some disinvestment in the schools and that there has been an inequality in achievement. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And again, that's why you have elected representative government, so that people have to be accountable and responsible to their constituents. It's what the people of the city of Chicago have been screaming for. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to give them.
Well, and there had been some talk in the last few weeks that the governor would like to take over Chicago Public Schools since they're struggling so much financially.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, that I think some of the questions that you heard from my Republican colleagues, although honestly it wasn't earnest, there was a little bit of a political backdrop there because they referenced a bill in which the governor would take over the Chicago public schools, have complete and total authoritarian control over them. There is a common theme here with that, you know, like with the budget, now with the Chicago public schools. If he could just take complete control over it, he could fix everything. That's his idea. Well, that's not what we want. His thing said, after I fix all of the problems, then I'll hand them over to you.
Right.
Well, you know, we've seen how that works in Flint, Michigan. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the ability to fix our own problems here in the city of Chicago, to address them, but to address them in a way that's responsive to the citizens and the taxpayers and the parents of students in the city of Chicago.
You and I talked briefly in the car about how you know, people don't seem to understand the basic civics of Illinois government and the federal government. And so can you explain to us, you proposed this bill and had, you know, people testify in this committee hearing. You basically have developed this. You were approached about sponsoring this bill. What happens next now that it's moved out of committee?
Well, now that it's moved out of committee, it'll move to the floor. There will be, you know, I don't control the next step. The next step is when the bill gets called for a vote, but it will move to the floor. When it moves to the floor and it gets called for a vote, I will present the bill on the floor. We'll have the debate much as we do any other bill. If it passes there, it will go to the Senate and we will start the process all over. And so, you know, we're looking forward to taking that debate to the Senate. If we pass it there, it goes to the governor's desk, and that's where he'll have to make a decision. Does he give the citizens of the city of Chicago, who in a referendum in 2015, 90% of the people who were able to vote on the question of whether or not they want an elected school board said, yes, this is what we want. We want 90% of us want an elected school board so that we can fix our own problems. And the governor will have to decide whether or not he's going to deny that.
Well, there you go. So that's one of our first lessons in our Civics 720 class. And we will be doing that every week. We'll figure out some different way to whether it's Senator Katowski, Representative Martwick, or anybody else that serves in our General Assembly whoever is qualified. I think that we need to start learning more about this. And eventually we will take a field trip to Springfield. That's our big plan.
I like it.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again in the next couple of weeks at Representative Martwick.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
Always good to talk to you.
Yeah,
see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Great bill. Sounds like a great bill, Rob. Congratulations.
Thanks,
yes, congratulations.
I appreciate it.
More after
this. Have a great night, guys.
You too. Thank you. Get some sleep. Bye-bye. More after this, 720 WGN.